The New Testament reading this morning is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us a sure foundation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to heed those words that we have heard today, and may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you and help to build onto that foundation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our reading from 1 Corinthians today, Paul, it was in the middle of talking about gardening and working the soil and how the church is like gardening. And then right as we get to this section that Hannah read for us today, he is switching metaphors in the middle of an argument. And he takes off his garden gloves and puts on his construction hard hat. Now this time, Paul is playing head contractor, right? Giving a speech to all of his subcontractors, the Corinthian church. Paul tells them that the solid foundation of Christ has been laid down. Now it is time to get to work and start building a church. But be careful what you build. Be careful how you build it and what you use. If the materials you use are of poor quality or the work is not up to code, there could be some serious consequences. Now, I don't know how much Paul knew about construction. We all know that he was a tent maker. But my knowledge of construction, besides this being a toy construction hat, was the Lego Police Command Station. Solid work when I was around, you know, eight, nine. That was I could put that thing without instructions. Without instructions. Okay? I love to play Jenga, if anyone wants to take me on that. That's it. That's all I know. But even I have watched enough HGTV to know that time that you take in construction, the materials you use, and how you go about your work makes a difference. You all know in your house, if you ever had someone do work that didn't quite know what they were doing, you will suffer the consequences of that work. Ann and I lived in a house, oh my goodness, oh my gosh. Our last house, we got it, and the guy said, I can put in a new bathroom upstairs. He was an engineer at Cummins, and he thought he knew what he was doing. He did not. He didn't know what he was doing. And guess what? We had to pay 12 grand to get a new bathroom put in that house. Bad work shows itself. We know what happens when there's bad work. The product suffers. And in case of a building a home, if you take shortcuts or make mistakes, they could turn out to be dangerous to those trying to live there. And this is really all you need to know about construction to get what Paul's talking about. Quality and integrity matter. Shoddy work will produce shoddy results. Now, Paul uses this metaphor because he is greatly concerned about what is happening at the Corinthian church. Now, remember, Paul isn't talking about a literal building. The Corinthian church probably met in homes of wealthy members or other meeting spaces in the city. They weren't building a brick and mortar church like we have today. No, Paul is talking about the people, the church community. The Corinthians were building a church family not focused on love, humbleness, and service, but rather on infighting and one-upping one another. Their bad workmanship, their bad attitudes had created an ugly, broken, shoddy building that no sane person would want to enter. No sane person would want to be a part of it. And even worse, they were misusing the foundation of Christ, using the name of Christ to bolster their massive egos and further support their incessant stubbornness. This is something that we're all familiar with today, where Jesus' name is used as a justification for all sorts of terrible things in the world. Jesus' name is used as a factoid, a disposable a commodity amongst others that we bust out in the middle of an argument when we want to prove that we're right. Jesus now is a means to an end, serving us instead of us serving him. This is not quality workmanship. This is a building that doesn't fit its foundation. And whenever a church family makes being right more important than following Jesus, we can be sure that a collapse is imminent. And when we easily sacrifice unity and peace with one another because we have an axe to grind, the walls are about to cave in. This is why Paul warns the Corinthians, whatever we build on the foundation of Christ will test to see if it can withstand the bad weather it brings, that life inevitably brings. That solid construction, solid community, built on hospitality, love, grace, forgiveness, will be able to weather the storm, but ego, stubbornness, self-entitlement will create an unstable church family that will fall down at the first hint of a windy day. This church knows about storms and windy days. This is a church that has been through a lot. And I'm not just talking in recent history. Throughout its 203 years, there have been some storms that this church has been in. And when I look back at those times, those storms where the rain was pounding, where the wind was threatening, the thing that kept you all together, the thing that made it possible for this church not to collapse under its pressure was your relationships with one another. That's what I'm saying when I tell the kids that it's not about a church or a steeple, but it's all about the people. That is what the church is. And when you have those relationships, those strong, solid relationships that are willing to hold on to one another despite the wind, despite the rain, the church will survive. It was the kind of relationships that the church in Corinth did not have. They weren't fostering relationships. They were working on trying to prove each other wrong as opposed to building up one another. The blessing and the curse is that we're building together. That the church that we are building isn't just this brick and mortar, but it's the ministry, it's the service that we are doing here, it's the relationships, it's the transformation. It's a curse because you cannot rely on your own strength and energy to make it happen. You are part of something greater than yourself, greater than your opinions, greater than your life. But building together is also a blessing because we get to share. We get to share life through the joy and the sadness, through the sun and the rain. And it is in those relationships that we find suitable material to build on the foundation that we have been given of Christ. So it is essential that we take time to get to know one another, learning each other's gifts, each other's faults, our needs, our personalities. It is then that we can build a church not to show off or to boast, but one that's designed to endure. One designed to welcome new family members. One designed to be a visible sign of Christ's body on this earth. That is the building that will sustain long after this actual building has gone away. The relationships that we build here and the transformation through that. So I ask you, what type of materials are we using now to build for the generations that come after us here at First Pres? Are we willing to take a risk and invest in one another for the long-term future of this church? Because the relationships that you have with one another, those are the construction materials, the gold, the silver, the precious stones that Paul talks about. And as we prepare ourselves for Stewardship Sunday next week, consider how you might be able to continue the construction of God's church here, building upon this foundation, the foundation of Christ and the construction of the saints. The saints that came before us that made it possible for us to be here today. Because each of you has to realize that you are the church for this time. And the decisions and the ministry that we do is the legacy that we leave for those who come after us. That is a huge responsibility. I'm asking you today to think about how we are building. What are we using to build? And are we building for the next generation to come after us? That is the kind of construction Paul is asking this church to do. Now, we need to take care of this building, and we are, and we're working hard to do that. But I want you all to think about ways that you can build between one another. Your relationships, deepen those opportunities to share, to love, to give grace, so that we may be a church that endures any storm that we face. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.